Kartra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Kartra AI. Welcome, curious minds, to the deep dive. Today, we are tackling one of the, the greatest quests in human history, really.
Yeah.
And it's all summarized in one revolutionary book, Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time.
Oh, absolutely. This book is, it was like an earthquake in intellectual history, wasn't it? For centuries, you had these huge questions. Where did the universe come from? Why is it here? What happens to it?
Yeah, the big ones.
The biggest. And they were mostly, philosophical questions or religious ones. Hawking just took them and said, no, these belong to science, to observation, rigorous thinking.
And that's sort of our mission today, isn't it? To unpack these incredible insights about, everything. The origin, the structure, the fate of the universe, but in a way that's hopefully really accessible to you. Hawking was adamant that this knowledge wasn't just for specialists.
Exactly. He believed it should be shared. It's like the ultimate guide, really. We're going to walk you through how he brought together these two massive pillars of physics, the cosmic scale stuff and the tiny quantum stuff, and show how they connect.
Okay, so let's start with the man himself.
Yeah.
Stephen William Hawking, born 1942, passed away in 2018. And just to give you a sense of his intellectual weight, he held the Lucasian Professor of Mathematics chair at Cambridge.
The same one Newton had. Yeah.
Exactly. Newton's chair. That tells you something.
And his work, it was just foundational. He completely reshaped how we understand singularities, the points of infinite density. Mm. And he was the main architect of modern black hole theory. Mm. Maybe his biggest single contribution was discovering Hawking radiation, theoretically, of course. But it was the first major step towards linking general relativity and quantum mechanics, modern cosmology. It's hard to imagine without him.
What I find just incredible, and I think you'll appreciate this too, is how his personal circumstances kind of fed into his science. He was diagnosed with ALS, motor neurone disease, at just 21.
Yeah.
And these severe physical limitations, they seem to contrast so sharply with the sheer freedom of his mind exploring the cosmos.
That's a great way to put it. He couldn't rely on scribbling equations on a blackboard for hours like many physicists do. He had to visualize incredibly complex physics entirely in his head.
Wow.
And that unique way of thinking, that immense concentration, it maybe forced him to distill things down, to find these really elegant, simple analogies to explain profound ideas. It helped make science democratic, accessible. Yeah. He truly believed the universe's secrets belonged to everyone.
And that belief, that conviction, it flows right into this book, A Brief History of Time. The core idea is just massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
A non-mathematical attempt, which is key, to bring together the physics of the very big and the very small.
Exactly. You've got Einstein's general relativity that describes planets, galaxies, gravity, the whole cosmic dance. And then you have quantum mechanics ruling the subatomic world, particles, forces, probabilities. Both theories work brilliantly in their own domains.
But they don't mesh.
They just don't play well together, especially in extreme conditions like the Big Bang or inside a black hole. So the book's ambition, its whole point really, is searching for that one complete theory. The theory of everything.
And he famously had that constraint, didn't he? His publisher warned him that every equation would have the readership.
Huh, yes. So apart from the iconic EMC heart, it's all conceptual, which is amazing, really. Hawking proved you could grasp space-time curvature, singularities, the uncertainty principle through logic and analogies, not just calculus. He takes you on this journey from Aristotle's old ideas through Newton, then Einstein's revolution, quantum mechanics.
All the way to black holes and time travel concepts. It's like humanity's quest log for understanding our place in the cosmos.
Beautifully put.
So let's dive into that journey. Starting with maybe the biggest mental shift ever. Realizing time isn't fixed. We started with, Newton's clockwork universe, universal gravitation, explaining apples falling and planets orbiting. Very neat.
Very comforting. But then Einstein comes along and just shatters the idea of absolute space and absolute time. And here's the really weird part about gravity, according to Einstein. It isn't actually a force pulling you down.
Okay, hold on. That always sounds a bit like wordplay. If gravity isn't a force, but it's the curvature of space-time, why does it feel like a pull when I'm standing on Earth?
Right, it's a fair question. Think of the classic bowling ball on a trampoline analogy. The Earth, like the bowling ball, warps the fabric of space-time around it. You, trying to move in what feels like a straight line through time, are actually following the shortest path available in that curved space.
Ah, so the path itself is curved inwards.
Exactly. And you experience following that curved path as the sensation of being pulled as gravity. Einstein's math let us see the universe not as a static stage, but as this dynamic, stretchy, four-dimensional fabric.
And that stretchy quality had shocking implications when people started looking out there.
Oh, yeah. Enter Edwin Hubble, back in the 1920s. He's observing distant galaxies, and he notices they're all moving away from us. And crucially, the farther away a galaxy is, the faster it's receding.
So it wasn't just things moving through space.
No. The space itself was expanding. The whole fabric of space-time was stretching. That was revolutionary.
And if you run that movie backwards, if everything's expanding now,
then it must have all been compressed together at some point in the past. Infinitely compressed, in fact. The Big Bang.
Right.
And Hawking has this great point about the question, what came before the Big Bang? He says, if time itself began at the Big Bang singularity, asking about before is, well, it's meaningless.
Like asking what's north of the North Pole.
Precisely. The concept of north breaks down at the pole. The concept of before breaks down at the beginning of time.
Okay, so the universe starts as this incredibly dense, hot point. To understand that, we need to shift scales dramatically, right? Down to the quantum level.
Exactly. And that's where things get, well, weird. Quantum mechanics introduces this fundamental fuzziness into reality, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Which says, you can't know everything perfectly.
Basically, yes. Yeah. You can't simultaneously know both the exact position and the exact momentum, which is mass times velocity, of a particle. The more precisely you measure one, the less precisely you can possibly know the other.
So there's an inherent limit to our knowledge. This is the God does not play dice thing that bothered Einstein so much, isn't it?
That's the one. It means the old idea of a perfectly deterministic universe, if you knew everything about the start, you could predict the end that breaks down at the most fundamental level. Probability isn't just a tool for us, it seems to be baked into reality itself.
Wow. Okay. And this quantum weirdness, this randomness, it's crucial for understanding black holes.
It turns out to be, yes. A black hole forms when a really massive star collapses under its own gravity. Gravity wins completely, crushing everything down to a point of singularity surrounded by this boundary called the event horizon.
The point of no return. Nothing, not even light, can escape once it crosses the event horizon.
Classically speaking, yes. Which makes Hawking's most famous insight, captured in that brilliant little phrase, so radical.
Black holes ain't so black.
Exactly. It was this huge theoretical leap. He realized that while nothing classical escapes, quantum effects right near the edge of the event horizon have a consequence.
Quantum effects, like the uncertainty principle.
Sort of related. It's about virtual particles, pairs of particles and antiparticles that pop into existence from empty space for incredibly short times before annihilating each other. Happens everywhere, all the time, but right at the event horizon.
What happens there?
Well, sometimes one particle of the pair falls into the black hole while the other escapes. To an outside observer, it looks like the black hole is emitting particles. This faint thermal glow is Hawking radiation.
And this radiation means the black hole isn't truly black, and it's losing energy.
Precisely. It means black holes actually evaporate incredibly slowly over unimaginable timescales. But the key thing, the reason it was such a breakthrough...
It connected the two big theories.
Yes. It was the first solid theoretical link between general relativity, which describes the black hole's immense gravity, and quantum mechanics, which described those virtual particles popping into existence. It showed they had to talk to each other somehow.
Even if we don't have the full unified theory yet, it forced the issue.
It really did. And this deep dive into beginnings and endings, big and small, leads Hawking to maybe the most profound topic of all, time itself, specifically the arrow of time. Why does time only seem to flow one way?
Right. Why do we remember the past and not the future?
He identifies three distinct arrows of time. There's the thermodynamic arrow. Things tend to go from order to disorder. Entropy always increases, yeah. Basically. A broken glass doesn't reassemble itself.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then there's the cosmological arrow. The universe is expanding and not contracting, so time points forward in the direction of expansion.
Got it. And the third?
The psychological arrow, the one you just mentioned. Our subjective feeling that time flows forward, that we remember yesterday but not tomorrow.
And why do all three point the same way? Is it a coincidence?
Hawking argues no. He suggests the psychological arrow is linked to the thermodynamic one, our brains process information, which increases entropy, so our sense of time follows that increase. And he argues all three arrows ultimately point the same way because the universe started in a very, very special state.
The Big Bang again.
Yes. It started in a state of incredibly high order, very low entropy, and because of that specific starting condition, the universe has to expand, cosmological arrow, disorder has to increase, thermodynamic arrow, and therefore our perception of time follows suit, psychological arrow. It all ties back to the beginning.
Wow. So it's all connected from the first moment to making a memory right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Stepping back from the physics details, the book leaves you with these really big takeaways, doesn't it? Broader lessons.
Definitely. I think three core themes really stand out. First is the kind of shocking simplicity of it all, deep down. Hawking shows how centuries of physics boil down to just a handful of fundamental principles governing everything. Everything from quarks to quasars.
Which is amazing because...
Well, because it suggests that we can actually understand it. Our human minds, our reason, seem capable of grasping the fundamental rules of reality. That's pretty profound.
It really is. A validation of consciousness, almost. What's the second theme?
I'd say it's about intellectual humility. Hawking traces how even the greatest theories, like Newton's, are ultimately provisional. They get refined or even replaced, like when Einstein came along.
So science isn't a book of final answers.
Not at all. It's a process. It means we have to be willing, always, to question our assumptions and change our beliefs when the evidence demands it. Keep an open mind.
Be comfortable with not knowing everything.
Yeah.
With uncertainty.
Exactly. Which ties into the third theme.
Yeah.
The cosmic link between the incredibly small and the unimaginably large. Hawking explains how tiny quantum fluctuations, those little random jitters in the very early universe, they provided the seeds, the tiny density variations that gravity then latched onto and amplified over billions of years to form the galaxies, the stars, the structures we see today.
So the largest things in the universe owe their existence to the tiniest quantum randomness.
In a very real sense, yes. Everything is interconnected, from the Planck scale to cosmic webs.
The book is also just packed with these incredibly memorable lines that they capture huge ideas so elegantly. I wanted to share one that, for me, just perfectly nails our weird position in the cosmos.
Oh, please do.
He writes, "We are just an advanced breed of monkeys on a minor planet of a very average star, but we can understand the universe. That makes us something very special."
That's classic Hawking. That blend of cosmic humility where tiny specks... but also celebrating the power of human consciousness. Our ability to understand gives us significance despite our physical smallness.
Yeah.
And then there's the ambition, summed up in that very famous closing line of the book. Quote, "If we find the answer to that, the unified theory, it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason, for then we would know the mind of God."
Which isn't literal, of course, but a metaphor, right?
Right. Right. A powerful metaphor for achieving that complete fundamental understanding of the laws governing reality, the theory of everything.
And just to bring it back to his own big discovery, that simple phrase that packed such a punch.
Black holes ain't so black.
Says it all, doesn't it? The collision of gravity and quantum needed right there.
It really does. A universe of physics in five words. Okay, so... how can we take all this mind-bending stuff and actually, you know, use it? Apply this cosmic perspective day to day?
Good question. Well, first, I think we can use his approach to boost critical thinking. Think about how science works. You need testable predictions. So when you hear someone making big claims in business, politics, anywhere, ask, is this testable? What evidence would actually falsify this? Is there an event horizon around this idea where contradictory facts aren't allowed?
That's a great way to frame it. Apply the scientific method filter to everyday claims. Secondly, the sheer scale of cosmology offers incredible perspective and resilience. Honestly, contemplating billions of galaxies across billions of light years, it does tend to shrink personal frustrations down to size, doesn't it?
It really does.
And look at Hawking himself, his perseverance, pursuing these huge questions despite immense physical challenges. It's a powerful reminder that intellectual curiosity can provide deep meaning and purpose, even in adversity.
Absolutely. And third, I think we can all improve our communication by learning from him. Notice how he always starts with a familiar analogy, the bowling ball, the steam from a kettle. Then he moves to the abstract concept like space-time or entropy.
Build a bridge from the known to the unknown.
Exactly. If you can do that in your own field, explaining your work, pitching an idea, you'll be much more effective. Start with the relatable, then introduce the complexity.
That's really practical advice. For my final thought, I keep coming back to intellectual courage. Hawking wasn't afraid to question everything, even Einstein. He embraced uncertainty, literally, with the uncertainty principle, and just followed the logic and evidence relentlessly. That courage to ask why, to challenge assumptions, maybe even to be wrong, that feels like the deepest lesson, and it applies everywhere, not just physics.
That's beautifully said. And for me, the lasting takeaway is simply the joy of the quest itself, the journey of discovery. We live in this incredible time where, thanks to people like Hawking accessorizing these ideas, we get to participate in this conversation, asking why the universe is the way it is, why it exists at all. It's not just for physicists in ivory towers anymore. It turns us all into explorers. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekantra Foundation.